Gorkhashor Das Babaji Ki. Gorkhashor Das Babaji Ki. Gorkhashor Das Babaji Ki. Okay, today I will be speaking from the first canto, the 18th chapter, and the 42nd and 43rd verses. The 42nd has no purport, so I will chant it by myself. And the 42nd and 43rd does have a purport, so we will all do that in unison together. So beginning.
Navainrbir naradivam parakyam samata maharasya avipakva bude yathejasadur vishahena gupta vindanti badrani aktobia prahajam.
Translation. So Shamiga Muni is now speaking to his son Sringi, who has committed a very heavy offense, having taken a dead snake and wrapped it around the shoulders of King Parikshit when he was there asking his father for some water or some food. So Shamika Rishi is trying to explain here why what he has done is wrong, and it should not have been done, and it should not have been taken so overly serious. But of course, Sringi had really no choice in this matter. Srila Prabhupada makes that point over and over again. I mean, academically speaking, he has a choice, but this is a plan of God. And when there is a plan of God, we have no choice. His plan will become fulfilled because he is all-powerful. And that's exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted that King Parikshit should be cursed so that two good things would happen. Number one, he would, after 7 days, go back home, back to Godhead. And then also, the Srimad Bhagavatam would be narrated, and a number of persons who are in the audience or the assembly would hear it. And many of those persons have what we call perfect memories. A perfect memory is that which, whatever he hears, if he wants to remember it, he will remember it, even if it goes for 7 days. It's like a machine or a recorder. The mind has actually become very much like a recorder, and all he does is set it back, and he can repeat it. And that's exactly what Sutta Goswami does at the beginning of the thousand-year sacrifice in Naima Sharanya. This is a very incredible ability, and anyone who has any doubt of it, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he demonstrated it in a very small degree when he was giving a critique to the Digvijaya, who was known as a very great poet. In fact, he won all the medals and all the trophies, and nobody could beat him except Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he actually showed him the mistakes in his poetry, which was on the Ganges, and he showed him the embellishments as well. Of course, the so-called sage or scholar was amazed that Lord Chaitanya could remember a particular verse, which is somewhere 50, 60, whatever it was. In fact, he asked him, how could you remember? And he said, Lord Chaitanya said, well, some persons have that particular natural ability, and I'm one of them who has. Just as many other people have different abilities, and those abilities can be used in the loving service of the Lord. So, going to the translation now. Oh, my boy. Again, this is Shamika. Your intelligence is immature, and therefore you have no knowledge that the king, who is the best amongst human beings, is as good as the personality of Godhead. He is never to be placed on an equal footing with common men. The citizens of the state live in prosperity, being protected by his unsurpassable prowess. So this has to be understood very clearly. a person just reading it as it is and believing just those words as they are can fall into a lot of trouble. Because, as it's mentioned over here, your intelligence is immature. You have no knowledge that the king, who is the best amongst human beings, is as good as the personality of Godhead. That is only good for persons who are self-realized, God-realized souls. For example, Prahlad Maharaj is such a person. Janaka Rishi is such a person. Bali Maharaj is such a person. Because when they speak, they are speaking, as Srila Prabhupada had mentioned, when he writes his books, he writes them as not as if, but hearing the words of the Lord, and he basically is like a secretary taking down the specific notes that he is being given. So, in the case of Maharajas, who are God-realized, this is absolutely true, that such a person is as good as the personality of Godhead, because what he says, what he thinks, what he feels, is coming from Supersoul within. And that's why if we follow his instructions, we can only go good, because it is God's instructions. But there are many people who do not have this high level, such as Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. They're on a much lower level, and they are still affected by the three modes of material nature. They are still affected by karma. They do not have Supersoul realization and cannot communicate with the Supersoul. So they do the best that they can in the course of striving to reach that higher, very elevated state. So sometimes such a person can also mislead. And we had a lot of misleading. If we go back many years back, there was a lot of misdirection, misleading, and so forth. So that is because those particular leaders did the best they could under the circumstances. And in so doing, many devotees were misguided, and as a result of the misguidance, many of them got into all kinds of conflicts and troubles and difficulties and trials, ultimately resulting in leaving this Hare Krishna movement. So that's why it's very, very important to understand, at least have some idea, of what an advanced devotee is. And we have, of course, so many wonderful lectures from Srila Prabhupada. We have so many wonderful videos of Srila Prabhupada. And we actually get the association, in one sense, of when we watch those. And we also become purified in the process of watching those wonderful videos that still exist. So we can all purify ourselves in such a degree that we can actually spot a person who's cheating. And I know some devotees who were able to see some of the cheating that went on in the past, and many of them either went to another temple or they left the movement altogether because they didn't want to be afflicted by such disease-thinking person. So, we come now to the next. Is it on the board? So it's on the board, so everybody can kind of tilt the other direction to your left, I think. And I'll begin chanting in this. Before I go on, does anyone have any question about this point that I just made? That everybody is not as good as God. Ultimately, in the highest sense, yes. But unless a person is living in that highest sense, no. Okay. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Can we get a microphone so that the persons who are on the... just a moment, boom. Normally we have questions, but this would go past you because I'm going to read a different verse and you would probably forget your question. That's why I'm taking it right at this moment.
What would you say is the proper action to take in that case if some, like, devotees in leadership roles are not, like, sticking strictly to Shastra or, like, the direct interpretation?
They're not strictly sticking to Shastra? But what are they sticking to?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like you said, there were some devotees who left the movement because of that. Do you think that was the right course of action, or should they just have...
Well, it depends. Some of them felt that that they just didn't want to be not only intimidated, but made impure by such relations. So therefore, they left. Some left to go to different temples where there were better or more advanced devotees, and some just left altogether, being completely frustrated and disgusted. I was one of them, by the way, and I did leave for 3 years. But Krishna had never forgotten. He got me back. Thanks to Krishna. So, okay, does that answer your question? Okay, fine. Alakshmane Naradeva Namani Vatanga Panda Vayamangaloka. Tadahi Chora Prachoro Vinakshati. Arakshamano Vivaru Tavat Shanti Shanat. Do it again. Arakshamano Vivaru. I can't see it too well. Arakshamano Vivaru Tavat Shanat. Lakshmane Naradeva Namni Vathanga Pandavayam Angaloka Tadahi Chara Pachuro Vinangshati Arakshamano Vivatru Havat Shanat. Lakshmane Naradeva Namni Vatanga Pandavaya Mangaluka Tadahi Chara Prachuro Vinangshati Arakshamano Vivaruta Vatkshanat. No one else? Ladies? Ladies, please. Lakshmane Naradeva Namni Vatanga Panavaya Mangalokaha Arakshamano Vivarut Havat Krishna. Anyone else? Alakshmani, being abolished, not a deva, monarchical, namni of the name, Rata Anga Pano, the representative of the Lord, Ayam, this, Anga, my boy, Loka, this world, Tadahi, at once, Chauda, thieves, Vachuraha, too much, Vinangshati, vanquishes, Arakshamana, being not protected, Avivaruta, Vat, like lambs, Shunat, at once. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sorry. Again, Shamika is speaking. Rishi. My dear boy, the Lord, who carries the wheel of a chariot, is represented by the monarchical regime. So, do we understand when he speaks about the wheel of the chariot? He's not speaking of an actual wheel of a chariot. He's speaking of the wheel of the wheel of weapon. The Lord has four different items that he carries. He carries a weapon, he carries a club, and he carries a lotus, and he carries a... What else? Punch, yes. So this is one of those, and that is one of the most powerful weapons in existence. It has many, many points on it. It's like a wheel, and Krishna uses it. The Lord Vishnu uses it. Krishna used it especially in the, as we know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to cut off quite a few heads, one of which I can remember, is Shishupal. And he was speaking in a very offensive way about Lord Krishna. And actually, it was known from many years ago that Krishna would be the killer of Shishupal, and even when he was small. So his mother, Shishupal's mother, begged Krishna to please not kill him. So Krishna said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will not kill him unless and until he offends me 100 times. So it just happened to be that the Yajna's sacrifice, how do you call it? I'm not pronouncing it right. The Rajasuya sacrifice. It just happened to be that Shishupal was very much averse, very much angry that Krishna was nominated by Bhishma Dev to be the person who would get the first offering of this sacrifice. So Shishupal, who was very envious of Krishna, especially since he was supposed to marry Rukmini Devi, but Krishna upset that plan when he came in and he just swept her off her feet, put her in his chariot, and took her away. There was a brief fight, but the fight went nowhere. And she became and remained, I should say, Krishna's wife. So he was very upset for just that. Of course, Rukmini was a very qualified person and very beautiful woman. So the translation, my dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of a chariot is represented by the monarchical regime. We all know what the word monarchical means. Who doesn't? Raise your hand. You don't know? Okay, then you tell him what the monarchical means. Not exactly. Anyone else would like to say what the word... You see, I want everybody to know what this is, what Prabhupada is saying. You know what monarchical? Please, go ahead. Yeah, like good and loud. Yes. In which there is a monarch. There's a king. So that's monarchical. So therefore, this verse is mentioning that that the Lord is represented by the monarchical regime, by those dynasties which have kings. And when this regime is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs. And that can happen. It happened even here. If those of you who may remember back, I think it was about 20 years ago, there was a riot right here in Los Angeles as a result of one particular black man who was mistreated by the police. And so the black community rose up against this, and they started a tremendous riot going all across, breaking into big department stores, breaking into pharmacies, stealing, breaking into cars. It was horrendous, really, until the police finally, police came in, but they couldn't stop. There were just too many scattered all around. So this is what can happen when people are not properly trained to act towards people, because this, the police were acting in a very hostile and very unfair way. And that's why the black community was uprising, because he was not getting a fair treatment. So, again, Prabhupada mentions this point about training. People have to be trained, not to just go to public school, or you go to early grades, you go to high school, you go to college, you get a master's degree in a superior college, or you get a PhD. All of these are totally useless. If a person isn't trained emotionally, person is not trained in the heart to have respect for the Supreme Lord. That is the basis. When we respect the Supreme Lord and we know that the Lord is in all hearts, then how can we not respect a person, whether he's yellow, whether he's black, or whether he's red or gray or whatever, because the same spirit soul is dwelling within the hearts of all these people. And if I have respect, I have honor, I have veneration for the Supreme Lord, then I cannot act towards a person in an unfair, an unscrupulous, horrible way. The problem is that people think they can just act the way they want to and they will get away with it. And in that case, they didn't get away with it. And the riot lasted at least a few days. And it was really, people were afraid to go out on the street because you didn't know what was going to happen. Many of these people had weapons, they had guns, they had knives, and so forth and so on. So this is just an example when there is not good control. The first thing is, Prabhupada says, training. When people are properly trained, they speak well, they act well, they feel well, and they have excellent relationships with others. But when people have not been trained in Vedic behavior, Vedic culture, then they just act like animals. Generally, the animal is there, but it's just covered up with some phony courtesy. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. Oh, this. But then when push comes to shove, they explode. A devotee who has been trained over many years will not explode, because the explosion he gets is in his love for the Supreme Lord. That's the only explosion, and he's very happy to get that kind. So, keeping on. The king is said to be the representative of the absolute personality of Godhead because he is trained to acquire the qualities of God to protect the living beings. The battle of Kurukshetra was planned by the Lord to establish the real representative of the Lord, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Krishna knew that if he operated or ran or was the chief or became the emperor, he knew all the rules. He knew the regulations. He knew the laws. He knew what God wanted. And therefore, he would put forth the regulations and laws that would, if followed, would enable people to operate in a cooperative, loving, caring fashion. That's why Krishna wanted, for the safety, for the comfort, for the advancement spiritually of the world, he needed a person like Yudhisthira, or in this case, we have King Pariksit, who is the grandson of Arjuna. The Battle of Kurukshetra was planned by the Lord to establish the real representative of the Lord, Maharaj Yudhisthira, an ideal king thoroughly trained by culture and devotional service with the martial spirit makes a perfect king. Now, the Bhagavad Gita gives us some idea of what a martial spirit is. I think they give seven different qualities there. Does anybody know one of them? No? Okay. Anyway, I'll go over them. One of them is heroism. A hero is not afraid to die. If he knows he's serving, fighting for an excellent cause, which is going to be for the upkeep and the uplift of humanity, he goes forth even if he has to die doing it, and he's not afraid of death. That's a hero. And many times we see, even in the karmic world, sometimes a person, you know, an airplane goes down and it's in flames, and somebody from outside or somebody even in the plane rescues somebody, drags him out, even at the possible expense of his own life. So he's generally referred to as a hero because he didn't have to do that. He could have just gotten out by himself and that would have been the end of it. But he wanted to save somebody who was obviously going to die if he wasn't dragged out. Sometimes you see an older person, he can hardly do anything. So martial spirit, a heroism and power and determination. Sacrificial mentality, which is what I just mentioned. Courage in battle. That's another thing. The Pandavas were very courageous, but then they had good reason to be, because they were first-class fighters. One of the Pandavas could knock down 1,000 men. They were known as Maharathis. So they did their homework. They became great fighters. So therefore, they had courage in battle, were not afraid to die. This is one of the most important characteristics of a person who considers himself a Kshatriya, or who has Kshatriya warrior tendencies. He's not afraid to die. And a really great Kshatriya, like Yudhisthira or Arjuna or Bhima, they're always depending upon Krishna. So why should they be afraid? They know where they're going. If you're depending upon Krishna, then only good can be the result of such courage in battle. As Krishna says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in this consciousness, but you act through false ego, me, 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 mine, 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 I, that's all that counts, me, me, mine, mine, I, then you will be lost. So we know why so many people are lost, because they're not depending upon Krishna. They don't have faith in Krishna. Even devotees, many do their service, but they're not thinking of Krishna, not depending. I don't mean that you have to be 100% absorbed, but there has to be some idea that we are helpless and we are, in a sense, hopeless. We don't know what's going to happen. But if we are depending upon Krishna, whatever happens will be good for us and the whole world, because Krishna knows what is good for us and the whole world. So that mentality is very, very helpful to us. It enables us to go back home, back to Godhead. So, such a personal monarchy is far, I'm reading now, is far better than the so-called democracy of no training and responsibility. That's, as I already mentioned a little earlier, you go through school, but you have no training. You're trained to deal with material items, thinking that if I have material knowledge, that will get me into a high position. And sometimes it does. But quite often there are problems, there are difficulties, tribulations, there are conflicts. And therein comes emotion. And unless a person is trained in emotional control, then he may just explode. And when he explodes, he can lose a big job, a job that he's earning sometimes $100,000, $200,000 a year. Everything was right. He knew everything about that science. He knew everything about that particular job. but he didn't know how to control his emotions. And because he didn't, he exploded. And because he exploded, he caused loss to the company, and the company president and vice president got together and said, let's get rid of him, because all he is causing us is loss, loss, loss. So that's why emotional training, and the more we depend upon Krishna, the more we will love Krishna, because Krishna will give us his grace to love him. And the more we love him, the more we will continue to love him. And love is an emotion, as we know. It's not just a word. It's an emotion, and it's followed by, and it's filled with, action. And the action that love is filled with is loving service. I want to please Krishna. I want to do what he wants done. I want to help in his mission. All these things are a part of love. And the devotee who is very advanced in love, he never feels that he's given enough. He always feels that Krishna, if he was completely Krishna conscious, could give him more. More ability, more power, more knowledge, which would then result in a better offering. And that's all he wants. As Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do this as an offering unto me. In this way you'll be freed from the bondage of work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, give, 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 give. Don't get. Don't worry about getting. Krishna says, I'll take care of all the getting. You just worry about giving and giving the best you can, giving as much as you can, and that way I will be pleased, and that pleasure that Krishna gets will be manifested in endless amounts of divine grace or mercy. And the devotee feels that. He feels bliss. He feels peace. He feels strength. He feels confidence. He feels courage. He feels all these things which are coming directly from Krishna. So, sometimes persons say, well, how do you develop courage? I've just told you how. Just try to serve Krishna lovingly, and he'll take care of the rest. When I say lovingly, that includes humbly. If we try to serve in a very arrogant, prestigious, I'm great, I'm so wonderful, just look at me, follow my example, you're off. But when actually a devotee doesn't consider himself very great or very glad or very amazing or awesome, as people may say, he's rightly situated, because he can always take, he can always gain, he can always receive from the Supreme Lord. He's in that wonderful state of Trinadapi Sunichinatarodapi Sahishnana. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Why constantly? Because you're so blissful. And that bliss is, it's like if you take some tasty, delicious prasadam, what's the next thing after you've swallowed it? Take another bite. Take another taste. Because it's just so stimulating and so provocative. You want to eat more and more and more. The same thing with the holy name. When we become perfect or perfected in it, the bliss that Krishna gives us, seeing that we are chanting with our heart, we are chanting in appreciation, we are chanting with gratitude, we are chanting in a sense of surrender. When that mood is there, Krishna is very pleased, and he then fills us with that grace which allows us and enables us, in fact stimulates us, to chant constantly. Okay? Constantly. Now, if I can find my place, we'll be all right. The thieves, I got it. Fine, thank you. The thieves and rogues of modern democracy, Srila Prabhupada used to refer to democracy as demonocracy. That's a beautiful coinage. I've never heard anything better than that. Demonocracy, which means it's all the rules of democracy are there, but the demoniac mentality is there, and therefore it doesn't do very much for the democracy, because although democracy could work out very, very nicely if you have all pure devotees, but if you don't, then what happens is that there are difficulties. So the thieves and rogues of modern democracy, they bribe people, they cheat, they hoodwink, they make deals in the back room, which shouldn't be. So the object or the idea of fairness, of righteousness, of of having everybody satisfied and pleased, can't work when people are just self-satisfied and self-aggrandizing. Aggrandizing means get it all for yourself, and then you're big and everybody has to come to you, look up to you, beg you, and that's the whole reason people come into this world, to be a lord. And that's what it's all about. Lordship, lordship. Who can be bigger? Who can be better? Who can be higher? Like that. Okay? So, the thieves and rogues of modern democracy seek election by misrepresentation of votes. There are a lot of votes, a lot of cheating goes on in the voting system. One person may register a different name in many different places and even different states. It happens. And he has a different name, so they don't really know it, because they don't use fingerprinting or facial anything. So therefore, as Srila Prabhupada is saying here, they seek election by misrepresentation of votes. And the successful rogues and thieves devour the mass of population. One trained monarch is far better than hundreds of useless ministerial rogues. So a trained monarch is one which I've just mentioned. Prahlad Maharaj, King Bali, any of those great, King Prithu. These are all great kings because they are trained in Vaishnav culture. And they do what God wants them to do. They are perfect servants of the Lord. This is something that we should all be striving for and begging for. My Lord, I'm serving you, but am I serving you as well as I can? Please help me to become better. I want to please you as much as possible. But since I am limited, how can I please you as much as possible? You know what is more possible than I know. Please, I beg you, take over my senses. Take over my mind. Take over my intelligence. Take all these over and enable me to serve you better. A devotee who has the attitude that there's more to be done gets more from the Lord as a result of grace. As one thinks that he's perfect already, it is very difficult to get any grace because that's a sign of pride. It's a sign of arrogance. Look at King Indra. He thought he was so perfect when there was this sacrifice that was going on in Vrindavan for Indra, supposedly. And Krishna said, no, we don't need to worship him. He said, this is useless. Indra got upset. He got disturbed. He got shaken. His position was being usurped by Krishna. Krishna says, no, the only one we should worship is Govardhan Hill and the Brahmins. That's it. That will help us. Govardhan Hill is giving us so many products for our subsistence. And Govardhan Hill was the Supreme Lord. It's another manifestation. So that's why I said, worship Govardhan Hill instead of Indra. He's just a human being empowered by me. And he thinks he's all in all and greater than greatest. So, and then what happened in that particular pastime, when finally the senior men, the elders, they agreed with Krishna and they began cooking all of the different foods. Everything was then complete. What happened? What happened was the hill turned into a gigantic Krishna. So, therefore, when Krishna said that better to worship Govardhan Hill, in effect, he was saying, you worship the Supreme Lord. He wasn't saying, worship me, because there was a rasa there. They sort of his beloved little child. But he was, the gigantic Krishna was up there, and then that gigantic Krishna faded into back to Govardhan Hill. But everybody knew that Govardhan Hill was better to worship than Indra, because he is, was, and always will be the Supreme Lord. I already read that, I'm sorry. What is that? One trained? Is that what did you say, Archita? Okay. One trained monarch is far better than hundreds of useless ministerial rogues. And it is hinted herein that by abolition of a monarchical regime, like that of Maharaj Pariksit, the mass of people become open to many attacks. When you get rid of persons who are enlightened and they are leaders, that's the easiest way to open yourself up to attack. Because we're not getting the grace, we're not getting the guidance, we're not getting the strength that Krishna gives to those persons who depend upon him. Therefore, if we want to be successful, the way to be successful is depend upon Krishna and thank Krishna when he grants us some particular, whether we wished it or we didn't wish it, but anything that comes which is favorable to us. I mean, simple things like turning on the water in the morning. There are people who do not have faucets. Okay? They have to go to a river. They have to fill up these big vats and put it on their heads and lug it back home. So it saves us a lot of time to just turn on the hot water, turn on the cold water. And we should be thankful for so many little things of that sort. We have heat in the home. So many people, they have to get logs and woods. They have to light them and this and that. There are many things. We have so many blessings. And by feeling and considering that we're not even worthy of these, we've considered sins. We've committed sins. We've committed wrongs. We've committed evils so many times. But Krishna is saying, don't worry about it. As far as I'm concerned, as long as you perform devotional service, you're good with me, and I'll continue blessing you. But if you want to usurp my position, you want to be a lord, you want to order people, you want to dictate to people, you're not in my camp anymore. So we should remember this, especially anyone who happens to be in a position of leadership. So leadership means smallest of the small of small, humbler than the humbler, servant of the servant of the servant. That person can lead. A person who actually thinks that he can lead because he has some good intelligence, mind works fast, good memory, forget it. Krishna may allow him to succeed for a while, but then he takes him down and pretty much finishes him and shows him that he's not as great as he thought he was. This is so important for all of us here, devotees. Some of us, as a result of our sadhana, as a result of our devotional service, as a result of our dressing deities, going out and doing book distribution, may be awarded much blessings. Who knows? Maybe you might get some mystic power. Yeah, you might be able to put your hand on somebody's head who's got a tumor, and it disappears. Look, Catholic saints, dude, they were doing that through the 1500s, 1600s, every day practically. There was one great saint, St. Vincent Ferrara. Ooh, this man was doing over 100 miracles a day, but he never took credit for it. He was a devotee. People would say, would you please heal me? He says, I don't heal. All I do is I pray to the Lord, he heals. So be thankful to him. If you want to be thankful to me for being the instrument, that's no problem. That's okay. But understand who the healing is coming from. Okay? This is so very important. Prabhupada did some incredible miracles. The greatest miracle he did is he took people who were living on the street, actually, and he made them, many of them, into cultured human beings. That's a true miracle. Most of those Christians were all hippies. They were taking drugs. They're doing this and doing all kinds of horrible things, all kinds of kind of sexual activity, for drinking and gambling and all that. But he turned them into cultured human beings. And the result was they become better persons and did so much for this country in their leadership roles. So they are never happy in an overly advertised form of democracy. The result of such a kingless, administration is described in the following verses. Oh, okay. So that's the end of that particular purport. And I know it's gone late, but we can't help that today. We had several other things that we had to do, such as the... Now, as far as Gaurakishore Das Babaji, I will just say a few words. Gaurakishore Das Babaji was an amazing, so amazing. What was amazing about him is that he had so much spiritual power, but he never wanted to show it off. He never wanted to put on a show. He never wanted people to even think he was amazing, because he had the same attitude that whatever was amazing coming out of him was coming from Krishna. His devotional love. In fact, he showed how much he definitely didn't want to even be looked at. He wanted to chant his rounds without people looking at him. He would go by these urinals where people would never go except to urinate, and it would smell terrible, but he would go there and he would chant his rounds there because he had control over his senses. He didn't have to smell those things because all he had to do is shut his nose sense off and focus completely and totally on Krishna, which is what he did because he was a pure devotee who could see Krishna in his heart. I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that he was blind in the last days of his, but he was still able to walk, and he got most of his guidance from within. Probably there were some devotees who helped him as well, but even being blind, he was somehow able to get along and go to certain places where he have to. His devotion is incomparable. And he was not a scholastic person. He was not an academic person. He didn't care for getting college degrees or getting trophies or certificates. He didn't care about any of that. The only thing he cared about was the thing most to be cared about, and that is to be at the feet of the Lord, serving Him, and always feeling that the very fact that he could serve God, love God, adore God, and look up to the Lord, that was the greatest blessing in the world. And if he has, and if we all strive for that particular position, then we receive more and more of Krishna's blessings. And the result of that blessing is that we become more and more conscious of Krishna, guided by Krishna, helped by Krishna, and enabled by Krishna to become more and more Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.